For you that have been saved a long time, it's not going to hurt you to hear this and study about it, because I think everybody needs to get it nailed down. And I'm going to talk about how you can know for sure that you really are saved. How you know for sure you really are saved. This is just a Bible study. I'm not going to preach, but I'm just going to give you some scriptures, and we're going to talk about it. You would be shocked if you knew the number of people who go to church regularly that doubt their salvation. And I guess just about everybody does at one time or another wonder if I'm really saved. Wonder if I'm really saved. I think it's normal to have a little bit of doubt once in a while. I think that's normal. But I think deep down inside, if you're always worrying about it, always, constantly, you might need to nail that thing down. And maybe you were saved when you was young, you got away from the Lord, or maybe you thought you was, or maybe you don't know. This is for you tonight. And I guarantee you, there's somebody in here that needs this, and you're too embarrassed to bring it up, because maybe you've been in church for a while. You know, the Bible, the Lord gave a parable one time, and he said the devil sowed tares, and the wheat and the tares grow right up together. And you don't know which one's a wheat and which one's a tare till the Lord comes one day and separates them. And I sure am not one of these preachers that goes around churches trying to talk people out of salvation. Lord knows we got enough problems without everybody in here doubting their salvation. But at the same time, I'm not naive enough to think that everybody who comes to church is saved. I don't believe that. I mean, you know good and well, if we have over 300 people here Sunday, you know that there are people that sing when we sing, give maybe when we give, shake hands, everything, but is not saved. And I hope that you are, and I hope that you know you are. Now I'm going to show you how that you can know for a fact that you're saved. Now, there's a lot of people going around saying, nobody knows that for sure, you can't know for sure till you die. Lord, I really would have to wait till I die before I knew I'm saved. Because you're taking a chance on it. You're taking a chance on it. Man, if it comes time for me to die, and I'm thinking, well, I hope I'm saved. I'll find out here in a minute. That's too close for comfort, brother. That's cutting it way too close. Now, you can know that you're going to heaven by faith. People in the Bible knew. John knew where he's going. Paul knew where he's going. Peter knew where he's going. They said, we know. We know. We know. We know. He said, well, nobody can know. As a man I worked with one time, he said, you boys got this saved business on the wrong end. He said, you don't know you're saved until you die. I said, well, where do you get that? And he said, because the Bible said, believe on the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Like future tense, you know. And that ain't what the Lord meant when he said that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved right now. Amen. Right now. Right now. And he said about some people whose names are present tense in the book of life. Now, get your Bibles. Everybody get your Bibles. And for anybody who does not have a Bible, I got a couple laying right here. Does anybody need one? Here's one. Somebody left here. Anybody need a Bible? I think it's that lady right back there, Damien. I was thinking about Brandon. We're glad to have you folks with us tonight. Amen. They just come just the last couple of weeks. They've been coming. What a blessing that is to be here. Amen. Now, anybody else need a Bible? You want to see this? Because that is my first point. My first point is the way that you know you're saved. You always, always, always go by what the Bible says. The way I know I'm saved tonight is I'm going by what God said in the Bible. The reason people don't know they're saved is they go by their feelings. You go by your feelings. You don't feel saved. Or you really mess up and you do something awful wicked. And you say, golly, man, the way I'm living, I'm doing this wrong and I'm doing that wrong and I'm doing that wrong and I'm doing this wrong. There ain't no way I can be saved. See, what you're doing, you're going by your works and by your feelings. You don't know you're saved depending on your works and your feelings. Because you never work enough and you never feel good enough. And one man said one time, I'm living right. I ain't sinned all week and everything. If I died now, I'm in good shape. You know, the chances of you dying in an absolute perfect state with absolutely nothing wrong in your life is slim to none. And if that's the way you have to be to go to heaven, and I know people who believe that. I know people believe that. I got friends of mine who argue with me. We've got in arguments, discussions, we'll say. And one lady told me, she said, "Brother Danny, what if you get drunk and then you die?" I said, "What if you gossip and then you die?" You know, if you go to hell for drinking, you go to hell for gossiping. Or having pride. Right? The truth is, you're not, none of us have reached a state so that we're absolutely perfect with no sin in us whatsoever. And we can say, "I know I'm going to..." Yeah, there just ain't no such person living on this earth. If you could reach that, Jesus would have never died. Now, this is the best news some of y'all have ever heard, because it will torment you. We used to have a lady, Marion, she come up in Spruce Pine. I think I've told you about her before. I felt so sorry for this girl. She's about 24, maybe 23, 24 years old. And once in a while, she'd come to church. Man, I'd preach on heaven and hell and everything. And she would hit the altar just bawling. And she'd say, "I don't know if I'm saved or not. I think I am." And somebody would take the Bible and say, "Do this, do this." All right, you got to say, "Yeah, I believe I am." About a year later, she come back. She hit the altar, but went through the same thing again. "I hope I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved." And now the truth is, every time you do that, you're just getting yourself in worse and worse shape, because every time you do that, it's easier to doubt it again. Because you think, "If I wasn't saved that time, how do I know I saved that other time? And how do I know I saved that other time? And how do I know I saved that other time?" And you get all confused in your mind. And there's thousands of people who don't know where they're going when they die, because they're not willing to take what the Bible said. All right, get your Bible, turn to John chapter 5. Everybody, let's look at this. John chapter 5. And there's no use pulling out a verse in Hebrews and Ezekiel and verses that you can't even understand doctrinally and ignoring these plain verses like the Lord spoke in John 5 and some of these other ones that I'm going to give you. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to do a little study here in the book of John. John chapter 5. And the book of John was written that you may know that you have eternal life. Know the Lord Jesus. Look at John 5:24. John 5:24. Verily, verily. That means absolutely, positively. Heard about this fellow named that little boy V. Riley. Oh, after that right there, because he thought that was a man in the Bible. It's verily. It's verily. This means absolute, positive, certain. I say unto you. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He that heareth my word, 1, and believeth on him that sent me, 2, hath right now everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now you believe that right there. By faith, believe that right there. The Bible said, he that heareth my word. Have you heard his word? Yes. Did you believe on him? And him that sent him? God the Father sent God the Son into the world, be the Savior of the world. You know it is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You believe that? The Bible said you have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Man, well, that's a verse you can shout on right there. Glory to God. You say, "Well, what about that verse? What about that verse?" Don't worry about understanding Ezekiel and Ecclesiastes till you understand them easy verses. Now, you always know a nut and a cult when they base their beliefs on scriptures that are hard to understand and never on the clear, plain verses. I like what Dr. Ruckman says. He says you should never interpret a clear verse of scripture in the light of an obscure verse of scripture. You always interpret the obscure verse of scripture in the light of a clear verse of scripture. That means this: if something says something plain, you understand the obscure verses in the light of that one, not the other way around. You don't take an obscure verse like "the soul that sinneth it shall die," as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. I know preachers quote that scripture all the time. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Well, that's not as plain as if you heard His word and believe on Him that sent Him, you have everlasting life. That's a pretty plain verse. I will grant you there are some verses that seem to teach the opposite, but you've got to get those clear ones down right first. And we won't have time to do all that tonight. There's you one. Grab that verse right there. I don't know about you. That helps me. He that heareth my word, I've heard His word. You believe on Him that sent Him. I believe on Him that sent Him. You say, well, Brother Danny, how do I know if I really believe? Now, don't get crazy on us. You know if you really believe. You can go nuts over stuff like this. There's people wearing themselves into a frazzle, Mom used to say, over stuff like this. You don't sit around and go, how do I know I really believe? Maybe I really don't believe. Maybe I do believe. Maybe I really don't believe. And how do I know if I really believe? You're going nuts if you start thinking like that. Here's how you know you really believe. You're walking downtown. God's always in the back of your head. He's always there. You start to do something wrong, you feel bad about it. You do something wrong, you feel terrible about it. You know, and when you lay down at night, see, 90% of the time, 98% of the time, I believe everything in there. 2% of the time, I start doubting this and start doubting that. I believe because 98% of the time I believe. Now, if you're the other way around, if you're an atheist and you 98% believe there's no God, but once in a while kind of think maybe they are, you don't believe. But if you believe, 98% of the time you believe the Bible's true and there's a God, and just once in a while you doubt. That's the way you know if you really believe. If you had to die right now, what would you want to do? You'd want to pray. That's the way you know you believe. That's the way you know you believe. You say, but how do I know I really believe? You believe if you want to pray like that. Now, let's get another verse here. Let's get another verse. Chapter 6. We're staying in John now. Look at chapter 6 and look at verse 47. John 6:47. Just about two pages over. And look at this verse here. It is a great verse. Verily, verily, there them old boys are again. B. Riley and B. Riley. I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Plain. Plain. He that believeth on me. Notice that you say, well, I believe in the Lord. It didn't say believe in Him. The devil believes in God. But you believe on Him. You trust Him. Like I trust this bench. I trust this bench to hold me up. That's what I'm doing to Jesus with my soul. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am trusting. If I had to die right now, if you came in here with a gun and you said, Brother Danny, I'm going to kill you, and you point it right here, if you say, I'll give you 2 seconds before I shoot you, I'd say, Lord, remember the blood that Jesus shed for me on the cross. That's exactly what I'd say. I wouldn't say, Lord, I'm in church. Ain't I good? I wouldn't say, Lord, I got the Bible. I preach every Sunday. Man, that stuff can go out the window. Because you've got enough bad stuff to cancel all that good stuff out. You've got to say, Lord, remember the blood. Remember the blood. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm putting my weight on that bench. You put your weight on that bench that you rest your soul on Jesus Christ to save you. Alright, let's get another verse. Another one. Well, I'm going to tell you something different here in a minute. Look at John 6:51. Same chapter, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, and when you believe on Him, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. When Jesus died on the cross, He gave His flesh for the life of the world. When you trust Him, you're partaking and eating of that bread by faith. When you trust Him, you're drinking that blood by faith. By faith. Alright, look at verse 58. 58, same chapter. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers that eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. See that? Never, never die. Now, look at chapter 20. Flip on over to chapter 20 in the book of John. Same book. John chapter 20. And let me show you the purpose of the book of John. The purpose of the book of John. Verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Now, that's what that verse said. You've got to get this through your head, people. There's one thing you can do to please God, and that's faith. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible. If I really believe that Jesus died for me, that He rose again, and I'm doing what I'm doing by faith, I'm pleasing God. That's the only way you can please God. There are thousands and millions of people that are just religious, go through religious practices and rituals weekly, on a weekly basis, and are not even going to heaven when they die because it's not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I want you to help me now. If you want to say something and ask a question, whatever, you're welcome to. Here's where the problem comes. You hear somebody else give this big testimony. And it's glory to God, you know, the night I got saved, the heavens came down, and the birds chirped, and the trees turned greener. And you're sitting there thinking, well, that didn't happen to me. Well, all that makes good testimonies, and I love it, but there's nothing in the Bible that said the trees are greener, and the birds sing Amazing Grace, and all that when you get saved. The Bible does say you're a new creature, but it says nothing about colors in the sky looking different. And, you know, sometimes these dramatic testimonies might give some people... And it's like this. A 7, 5, or 6-year-old child is not going to have that earth-shaking, dramatic experience that a 35-year-old man on drugs or something is going to have. All three of my girls, one of them got saved when it was 7. I think one was 6 and one was 5. I always told them, I didn't push them into getting saved. If you have a little kid, talk to them, work with them, put the Word of God in them. And here's what I always told them. I said, now honey, when you want to get saved, you tell me and we'll do it, because they've mentioned it once in a while. I want them to come to me. Fine. I think Krista came to me one morning and she said, Daddy, I want to get saved. And I said, okay, honey, we'll talk about it this evening. I put her off on purpose just to see if she was really... You say, I wouldn't have done that. At the time, I felt like it was the right thing to do. I don't know. But I did. And that evening, she came home from school. She's about 6 years old. And she got in her car and she said, Daddy, I want to get saved. I said, come on, let's go in here. And I took the Bible there. And if it's on their mind like that, that's just like Dax. He'd been mentioning it and been mentioning it and been mentioning it. And Carrie said he mentioned it like 5 times. And she said, Daddy, she called me one night. She said, Daddy, what am I going to do? She said, the last thing I want to do is let him get a counterfeit or maybe think he's saved and grow up not saved. I said, that's exactly right. I said, you're dealing with a kid's soul. You better make sure you do this thing right. And she said, well, he's asked me about 3 times and I put him off. And I said, well, let's just pray hard. And the next time he asks, let's do it. And that Sunday night, they came to church. And she said, he asked on the way. I said, okay, that's if he wants to come to the altar, let him come. And that night we started singing, and here he come. And he got saved. He said, oh, I don't believe little kid. Listen, a little kid, I mean, he's never done nothing wrong like, you know, cuss or drink or lie or anything might lie. But you know what I mean. Probably has. But you know what I mean. They don't go through that change that an older person does. And one of them, I forget which one it was. I believe it might have been, I don't know, one of my girls was crying one night. And one of the other ones came to my room and said, Daddy, and called her sister and said, she's crying. I said, what's wrong with her? She said, she's afraid she's not really saved. I run down the steps, went in the room, took the Bible, and I said, look, listen. And I said, there's nothing wrong with that, them nailing it down and making sure. But you've got to assure them that once they ask the Lord to save them, and they mean it in their heart, they've done everything a person's supposed to do. That's how I got saved. That's how you got saved. Beware of making it so complicated that a kid can't do it. On the other hand, you don't want to make it so easy. Well, you believe on the Lord, don't you, honey? Yeah. Okay, you're safe. You know, there needs to be some conviction. There needs to be some fear of God and hell and understanding. Explain it to them. And so, if you got saved when you was young, 6, 7, 8, or 9 years old, the devil's probably going to jump on you sometime and say, "Well, you didn't really know what you was doing. And because you was young, you didn't really get saved." That's probably going to happen. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, see, you got out there and got wicked when you was 14, 15, 16, 17... Oh, you didn't get wicked until you was 18. You done better than I did. I got saved when I was 18 and got out of it. But anyway, that will mess you up. That will definitely mess you up because you start thinking, "I must not really be saved, or I wouldn't be doing this." How many of you ever thought something like that? Yeah, if I was really saved, I wouldn't have done this. See what the devil does. The devil will say, "Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this." And you'll say, it's wrong, it's wrong. Oh, it ain't that bad. Come on, do this, let's do this. Come on, let's do this." No, no, no. And you finally give in and do it. And then he says, "Ha, you ain't saved, or you wouldn't have done something like that." That's the way a sorry rascal will do you. And he will mess with your mind. I'm not kidding you. Anybody else? I wish I hadn't told that story. No, I'm just kidding. Did you done do it? Did you try it somewhere? Have you? Did it do any good? Did it do any good?
I don't know.
Anybody else? Brother?
Just being a bus kid growing up, every time I got around church, whether I came to New Manor or when I went to Truth Missionary in Greenville, South Carolina, when I felt the Holy Ghost, I would pray and call on the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I don't ever know really when I got saved, but I know I'm saved.
And, amen.
And I know when I was 15 and the Lord moved in our life, and I just surrendered and gave all my life to the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know when I got saved. I just know I got saved.
There are a lot of folks that have that same testimony. You thought, "Well, maybe I really was saved when I was back down a little bit." But you nailed it down when you was 15 and made sure of it. I know there's another lady that told me that not long ago in our church. She said, "You know, I was 15 or 16 or whenever when I got saved." She said, "I might have been saved when I was young. I don't know. Because I had the fear of God and I prayed all the time and everything. And I don't know about all that. I don't know, but just make sure you are now." That's the main thing. I prayed before I got saved, but I didn't know who I was talking to. We prayed ball games. Back then, prayed ball games in a public school. You put your hand on the ball and everybody'd say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I'd say, "Help us win." I didn't even know who I was talking to. And I remember praying one time the Lord would help us win. I didn't even know who he was. I knew God was there. But after I got saved, I knew exactly who he was. I mean, it was completely different. You're not praying to some unknown something or another up yonder in the sky, brother. He's inside you when you get saved. Anybody else want to help us on that right there? Amen. Amen. Now, as far as a case like that, I would say that's probably when you got saved. But I don't know. I don't know. I think this. I've always believed this because I've seen it work. I've seen it work in Carrie's life and a lot more. I think a kid needs to get saved when they're real young. Maybe 6, 7, 8, 5, some of them even 4. Kathy Parker got saved when she was 5, I believe. It was 4 or 5. She said that's her testimony. She says, "I was on 5 bottles of milk a day when the Lord saved me." but she got saved when she's 5. Maybe I think you ought to get saved when you're young. And I think when you're about 13 at camp, you need a good hit of the Holy Ghost to nail it down real good. And then when I think you're about 18, you need another good hit. Some big earth-shattering revival, Holy Ghost, to keep you in and make you marry the right person. And it starts 20s off right. I think it happens in stages, not salvation. I just think when a kid gets saved when they're young and they go to 13, that's why I push camp so much. Because at camp is where many kids nail that thing down and get it right. I believe that with all my heart. And they need a good hit. Because if you go from 7 or 8 years old and nothing ever happens at church and it's dead and nobody ever gets saved, and then you go to high school, then you go to college, you'll turn into an atheist.
Yep.
And you say, well, maybe he wasn't really saved. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. Maybe he was. But I think you need another hit from God. Not another salvation experience, but just nail it down. Anybody else want to help us with that?
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
I remember feeling guilty and thinking, I disappointed the Lord. And then when I realized that he wasn't surprised by it,
amen.
Nothing I'd ever done.
You amen. That's wonderful.
Saved me. You know, that really helped me.
Yeah. That'll help you a lot. Because you have to be reminded of that. Listen, God knew you was going to do this before you was born. And he would have never saved you if he was going to change his mind and say, well, I shouldn't have saved you. If I'd have known you was going to do this, I'd have never... No, he already knew you was going to do it. He saved you anyway. That's how good he is. You're saved by grace. You say, oh, well, we can just go do anything we want. That ain't what he said. That ain't what he said. There's a desire in you to live right. And if you're a Christian, you're going to be miserable living wrong. You really will. I mean, there's something inside to drive you nuts. Have you ever tried to go out and do something stupid after you got saved? It don't work like it did before you got saved. It really don't. You just think, I even had a man tell me one time, he said, I wish I hadn't got saved. He was getting high and smoking pot and everything. He said, I can't even get high. And I said, you're crazy is what you are. You are a nutcase, buddy. I mean, You're crazy. I mean, you might be miserable. I mean, if you're out here and you're shacking up or you're getting drunk and you're doing this and that, you're going to be miserable if because something inside you, like that Indian said, he said, I have a triangle inside me. Talking about his conscience. And he said, as long as I'm good, it stays still. He said, when I do wrong, it starts spinning. And it kick, 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 that triangle. And that's the way you are. God puts that inside you. Something kicks inside you when you're doing wrong. Did you?
That's what I was going to say. Anytime I feel like I'm out of God's will, I get scared thinking what God's going to do to me to get me back where I'm supposed to be with Him.
Amen. Well, D.L. Moody told a man one time, he said, go read John 5:24. That's that first verse. And then he said, all right. He said, read it again. And that man said, all right, you still doubting? Yeah. Read it again. And he read it again. He said, do you still doubt? He said, yeah, I still doubt. And D.L. Moody looked at him, and he looked at him, and he said, see here, man, who are you calling a liar here? And that man said, I'm sorry. See, if the Lord said, if you believed on him, you have eternal life, and you'll say, well, I don't know if I do or not, you're calling God a liar. If he said it, brother, you got it. It don't matter how you feel. Anybody else? Right quick. We're about done. Anybody else? Right quick. I was telling, me and Chris was talking the other night, we was talking about that back here in my office, and me and him and Chase, and I gave him this illustration, and it's like this. Here's the way you got to trust the Lord, folks. Don't ever forget this. You've heard this story, but there's probably two or three in here tonight that need this, so you pray for them. A man falls off a cliff. This is just an illustration. A man dreams this. He falls off a cliff, and he falls, and about halfway down, he grabs hold of this vine like this, and he's swinging and dangling his feet, and looks down there, and ain't nothing but rocks below him. He looks back up there, and it's miles back up, and he's swinging there, saying, oh, God, save me! God, save me! Hold on to this vine. And he knows he's slipping. He can't hold on. And about that time, there's this big, strong angel float down out of heaven. Just floats down there and just stops right there in midair. He's got big muscles. He's smiling. He's looking at him like that right there, smiling. And the guy looks at him and says, "Save me! Save me!" And the angel says, "I will if you'll trust me." "Okay, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. Save me." And the angel says, "Let me ask you a question. Do you believe I can save you?" She says, "Well, he's floating in midair. He's got big, strong arms. Yes, I believe you can save me. I believe you can. I believe you can." He said, "I will if you'll trust me. I trust you. Save me." He said, "Let me ask you another question. Do you believe I will save you?" See, it's one thing to believe God can. It's another thing to believe God will. God can do anything. But will He? He says, "Well," he's smiling at me, "he came when I asked him. Yeah, I believe you will." He said, "Okay. I'll save you if you'll trust me. I trust you." He says, "Okay. Let go of that vine." He goes, "See, it's easy to say I trust you. You know what most people say? I tell you what, you grab me and then I let go." Right? Ain't that the way we are? "I trust you. Come on, grab me and then I'll let go." He said, "Uh-uh, let go of that thing." Now, that means that's trust. Trust is, okay, I'm going to let go. If you don't save me, I'm smashed, dead meat. So he lets go and he grabs him like that right there. Here's what we want to do. We want to say, "Lord, you save me and then I'll let go." You have to let go of every effort, every work, every good deed, everything you've ever done, and just fall and say, "If you don't catch me, I'm going to hell." That's the way you know you're saved. That's the way you trust Him, not your good life. You say, "Well, I'm stronger than everybody else. I can hold on." You'll give out sooner or later. You'll give out sooner or later. It's not enough. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anybody have a question on that right now? All right, I want you to bow your heads. Bow your heads for prayer.